13, then Psalms chapter 51, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're finding those in your copy of the scripture, let me ask you just a couple of questions. If I ask you these two questions, how would you respond? First of all, do you know that you know you're a child of God? Do you know that you're saved? And the second question is this: if you are saved, are you enjoying the life of abundance that God wants and has for your life? If I ask you what person in the Bible you would say lived the life of most abundance, of greatest abundance, chances are there'd be different answers. Some may say Abraham. Some may say Moses. Some may say David. Some may say someone else. Someone may say the Apostle Paul. The God of Scripture makes it very clear to you and me that He hasn't created us for a life of mediocrity. Yet the truth about it is there are so many people that are missing the life that God has intended for them, and many of those are saved folks. They're saved and they know that they're going to heaven when they die. But if there's one area that you and I can be deceptive in toward ourselves, it is in the area of being honest. So this morning we want to deal with the keys to a life of abundance and blessing, developing a heart of honesty. So if you'll take your Bible and turn with me to Psalms chapter 13, I just want you to listen to three particular very honest passages of Scripture in which David and the Apostle Paul were facing certain dilemmas in their life. Psalms chapter 13 verses 1 through 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And then if you'll turn over to Psalms chapter 51, another psalm of David. In this first psalm, we're going to look at his forsakenness. But in this other psalm, a psalm of tremendous temptation in which he yielded and gave in. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Now, if you would turn over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is facing some trying times in his life. And I'm going to bridge all of these together in just a moment, because if there is one area that every one of us, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we struggle with in the blessings of God, it is a heart of absolute honesty. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. In these three scenarios, in these three verses, you find each one of these verses and these sections, David on two occasions facing the feeling of emotional honesty toward himself, and David and Paul also facing the situation of being honest about temptation. Now, I say all of that to say this. We can be saved by the grace of God, know we're going to heaven when we die, and yet squander this life away and miss out on the blessings of God. But do you ever ask yourself the question, God, why am I missing the blessing? Now, you may not be overtly disobedient. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm doing the best I can, and I understand that. But I want to challenge you to listen very carefully this morning to this message, because if there is an area where most every one of us, probably all of us, struggle at, it's in the area of being honest with ourselves before God. And that's what we're going to look at in these passages. Because let me just give you an example of our dishonesty sometimes. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, all right, come on in, step up on the scales. And maybe you do that, or maybe you say, well, would you just take my word on my weight? Now, I know that that's hitting pretty close to the vest, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. We easily deceive ourselves. Why? Because sometimes we don't want to face some things in our own life. Sometimes we really don't want to face ourselves. Now, listen very carefully. You go to the courthouse and you get your driver's license renewed anymore. They don't do that. They don't ask you your weight anymore. Or I don't think they ask you your height. But anyway, they used to. And here is my point, and I want you to listen to me very carefully at the very outset of this message. If we are going to be deceptive in one area of our life, we will do it in a second area and a third area and a fourth area and a fifth area. And oftentimes in our life we say, God, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but why is it that I'm missing the blessings that you have? And can I suggest to you that one of the realities that we all struggle with is the reality of being completely honest with God from the very bottom of our heart? Because David faced that in his life. But let's back up and let's just face the reality. First and foremost, honesty is a pleasing offering unto the Lord. Now, you know, we know that. And we know that honesty is all right before God. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time you was acidly honest with the Lord God about things going on in your life? Let me give you some examples. Here is David, he's facing some situations in his life, and listen to what he says to the Lord God. How long, Lord, will you forget me? In other words, David was saying to the Lord God, God, I honestly feel abandoned by you. I don't feel like you're around. I feel like you've left me. Or in Job's circumstances, you remember Job and all the conflict he faced in his personal life, and he lost everything. And if you'll read him very carefully, Job raises the question, Lord, why were there hands there for me to be born? You see, it's not hard in the life that you and I have been given to be dishonest with ourselves. We lie to ourselves a lot. It's easy to be deceptive and dishonest, and we go through life perpetuating deception. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. I'm doing all right. When inside, something is emotionally eating away at our life. The reality in the life of Job and David and also in the life of Elijah. You can find it in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. Elijah the prophet vented his heart of honesty with God, and when he prayed to God that he would die. I had someone the other day ask me, said, Pastor, have you ever asked the Lord to take your life? And I just listened to see what was going on in their life. Because listen to me very carefully. We are good at putting on a front. We're good at putting on a face. We're good at putting on something so everybody can know that we're okay. But down deep within, there is something that is happening to our soul. And we're wondering what is going on. And when we really are honest with ourselves, we back up and we say, Lord, I'd be honest with you that I've not been honest with me. And that's the reality that many people face, many believers face. They say, yes, I'm saved, and I don't understand why I don't enjoy church. First of all, it may be that somebody has done something back there that you just have never been honest with yourself about. It happens all the time. A husband walks out, a wife walks out, children do something, or somebody that you trusted, somebody that happens to your life. And you see, whenever you look in these passages of Scripture, because I want to take them one by one, because if there is one thing that is necessary for you to have the life of abundance that God wants for you, it's this: being acidly honest with yourself. Now, if you look at Psalms chapter 13, there are three areas I want to talk about this morning, I want to deal with. First of all, honesty about our emotions. One of the phrases that is used a great deal among Christians today is this: I don't understand why I'm going through. I don't understand my feelings. I don't understand why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. Let me ask you a question. Has it ever dawned on you that the Lord wants from you acid honesty in your private time? Acid honesty is this: Lord, I'm not going to lie to you about what I'm facing in life. You see, one of the things that David said to the Lord God in Psalms 13, if you read it very carefully, he vents his heart. Now, if there was somebody that was probably the most powerful person on the earth in his time, it was King David. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. What was there about David that the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart? One of them was the reality of his honesty about emotions. You see, we have so many emotional channels running on the inside of us, we don't understand why we feel what we feel half the time. But sometimes we don't want to own up with what we feel. Sometimes we feel something deep inside of us and we don't want to bring it out because we're afraid of what it will sound like. I never will forget the first time that I said to the Lord God, I hated a man. There's something powerful about getting rid of your emotions. And there were some things going on, and I won't tell you the backdrop of it, but there was something happening on the inside of my soul. I was miserable. There was no joy and tranquility. And what the Lord reminded me is, Benny, you're not being honest with your emotions. And I want to say this to everyone under the sound of my voice. If you're not honest with your emotions, you'll go to your grave and you'll never have a happy life. You'll never have the life God purposed for you. Now, you probably never stood up in a public forum and heard somebody say something like that. But there's a lot of things we pray that nobody needs to hear about but us and the Lord. Amen? Something that somebody's done to you, some hurt your feeling, whether it's justified or unjustified. David was pointed and candid in Psalms 13. And here's what he basically said. How long will you forget me, Lord? Lord, you're the problem. Lord, there's something wrong with you. Now, was David blaming God? David was being honest from his heart. One of the greatest joys that God has brought me to in my own personal life is this. If Benny, you can be absolutely honest with me, my shoulders are big enough to take it. But the truth about it is, some of you haven't been honest with God. Your life is just, it's going down, it's going down, it's going down, and it's because something is going on the inside of your soul. You're deceiving yourself, you're deceiving family and friends, you're not being honest with yourself. And you know God's not designed you to carry all that baggage in your soul. Now, it's going to sound very odd, but when I told the Lord, and I named the man's name, and named what he did to me, and I said, Lord, I just have to be honest with you, I hate him. I can't tell you how good that felt. Now, don't misunderstand, and don't wake up right in the middle of what I'm saying. You say, now, Pastor, can you tell the Lord you hate someone? Now, you need to deal with the issue, but here's what I'm saying. There is nothing wrong with venting your heart honestly with God. And you see, the truth about it is, a lot of times we hold things in and we develop ulcers and we develop all sorts of things. We miss out on the life of abundance and we blame God. And here's the truth about it. We lied to God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God knows everything that's going on the inside of your soul? You better believe it. Does he know everything that's going on the inside of your mind? You can bank on it. Then why are you being dishonest with God? Maybe somewhere back there you just thought, well, it don't look very pretty. No, but here's what God does. He gets you alone in a private time and you get on your knees before him and you say, Lord, I've got to go back to my childhood. I've got to go back to a dad that beat me half to death. I've got to go back to a mom or I've got to go back to a brother. I've got to go back to a sister that I didn't care about. And you see, the reality of it is, we find out there's all sorts of poison on the inside of our being. And until we're acidly honest from our soul, we'll never have the abundant life God wants for us. David found out that he could be acidly honest. Friend, God's not created you to carry all that baggage. But I can promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, if you never give God that baggage, he will not accidentally take it. He won't accidentally take the baggage of resentment and hate and hostility. He won't take all the baggage of, you know, you feel abandoned, you feel forgotten. Because David just vented his heart. There's nothing wrong with venting your heart to the Father. And you see, in being honest in our emotions, here's what happens. And I can't explain how it happened in my own heart. But there's that warmth and that wonder and that feeling in my soul. Benny, you've finally been honest with me. Now I want to ask you this question. How many of you have deceived yourselves for years and you've never been open to God? You've deceived yourselves for years. You don't have a prayer time because you don't want to, you know, you've deceived yourselves. Maybe about the things in the past. There's two questions I always try to ask people when I'm counseling. Number one, what's your opinion of your dad? Number two, what's your opinion of your mother? In the life of David, David realized that he couldn't have the life of abundance. He couldn't have a life of blessing if he didn't vent his heart to God. Honesty is that point where you honestly come open to God. And you see, the greatest abundance and blessing comes from that awesome sense of giving God everything. In other words, you don't shoulder anything. You don't keep anything in your soul. And just the moment you have something in your heart, you vent it. You see, David learned to vent his heart. God makes it very clear. He said, I came that you could have life and have it more, say the word with me, abundantly. Jesus said, I came that you could have life. But the issue is, will you be honest with yourself? Second of all, honesty about our temptation. You know, the Bible makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're all going to be tempted. If I ask you what's been your biggest temptation this week, don't you dare answer that out loud. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, listen to it very carefully. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. One of the sad realities among many Christians is a failure to be honest about temptation. And here's what happens. They're not honest about temptation, so they're tempted and they're tempted and they're tempted and they're tempted, and all of a sudden one day they give in to the heart of temptation. God's servant Paul the Apostle owns up to the fact that he's tempted. Every one of us are tempted in one area or another. Men, you're tempted in one area more so than women are. Men are more tempted through the eyes. That's the way we're geared. That's the way we're wired by Holy God. They're more through the eye gate. And women are more tempted through the ears. In other words, you know, that communication. You know, if you're going to have a life that is blessed by God, one of the areas is owning up honestly to your temptation. Can I tell you the reason why a lot of men and women end up falling? They fall in some type of sexual sin is because they refuse to be honest with God about their temptation. Lord, I'm not going to lie. This is a temptation I'm facing, or that's a temptation. In Genesis chapter 37 through 50, won't go through all of it, but you find the life of David. And on one particular occasion, Potiphar's wife is seducing Joseph. And basically she's saying, why don't you come to bed with me? Why don't you just come on to bed with me? A real temptation in his day and time, just like you face real temptations in your day and time, and I as well. Joseph would not lie to himself about temptation. He didn't lie that it was no problem, because there's some other avenues in the text that sort of show that he faced that temptation and he faced it victoriously. The way you can tell that he faced the temptation is he won out over the temptation. Listen, you never win by just laying down and dying, so to speak. Joseph owned up honestly to Potiphar's wife being attractive. She's probably very lovely, very pretty, very attractive. And the reality about it is it's, there's always going to be a real devil. Since there's always going to be real temptations, you need to own up. Now I say, first of all, men, second, women, you need to own up honestly about being tempted. Don't you think that God loves us enough that he says, I want you to involve me in that battle on temptation? God's not up in heaven saying, why don't you learn better? Why don't you grow up? Why don't you, listen, we have so many terrible mindsets about how God's responding. He knows we're human beings. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 103, verse 14, he knows our frame that we're dust. And so the blessed life that God blesses, that filled with his abundance, is that man, is that woman who owns up to. You look at the life of Joseph, And he owned up to the fact, honestly, that he faced temptation. Can I say this to some of you, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm pausing deliberately. Some of you in 5 years will have a wrecked life because you deceived yourself about the area of temptation. You will give in to a temptation because you did not own up to it before God. You wasn't honest about it before God. You thought you could handle that temptation. You thought you could handle it on your own, and down you go. The Bible says there's one thing that leads to a fall. Pride goes before a fall. And you see, I know men. I know ladies who, they thought they could handle the temptation. They thought they could handle, and temptation is not sin. Now listen to me real carefully. You need to understand the difference between temptation and sin. Temptation is the allurement to do some God-given appetite and to fulfill it outside of God's way. In other words, you know, just as we have a hunger for so many different things in our life, to fulfill them in an ungodly way. There is within every person, most every person, unless they're celibate, there is that appetite for sexual action. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's wrong outside of the bonds of marriage. Amen? God has given those appetites, but they're right within the confines that he says. But here's what happens. Satan lures a certain person, lures this man, lures this woman, and they're both Christians. And they think, well, you know, we won't give in, we won't cave in. And all of a sudden, down they go. Why? Because they failed to be honest with God. If you'll be honest with yourself, oftentimes we are sort of deceptive to ourselves. We believe things that are not true. And the Bible makes it very clear. Joseph would not dishonor God. Joseph involved God in the temptation process. How do you know? Because he made the statement, "How can I do this thing before God?" In other words, he was aware that God was watching. He was aware that God was looking. He was aware of the presence of God, and he trusted God. Listen, what is it worth to ruin your life and to ruin your character for a few moments of gratifying pleasure? Because the Bible does say there is pleasure in sin, but for a season. And you see, the reality of it is, a lot of people miss God's abundance and God's blessing because they won't own up to this fact. Let me give you an example. Lord God, let's say you pray this prayer. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm being tempted by, or Lord God, I'm being tempted by. God loves it when we involve him in the temptation process, when we're allured in our mind. Father, this image has come in my mind. Get it out of my mind. I thank you in Jesus' name. Or this thing has happened. Listen. Does God know you're tempted? Sure he does. As a matter of fact, Paul said, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common. In other words, you're tempted, you're tempted, you're tempted, you're tempted, you're tempted, you're tempted. And every one of us are tempted. And you see, the life that is blessed, here's what they realize. God, I'm not going to be dishonest when I'm tempted. There is a prayer that I pray often when I am tempted. You say, preachers are tempted? Absolutely. Probably as much and more so. And here's a prayer that I've learned to pray over the years. I want to give it to you and I want to urge you to pray it. Lord, that doesn't fit who I am in Christ Jesus. Get that image out of my mind. You can pray that prayer. How long did it take? 3 seconds, 4 seconds? I've prayed that prayer, if not once, 100 times, 1,000 times, more than that. Why? Because Satan is going to try to destroy you. But here's what happens. When you have a heart of honesty with God, when you have a heart that says, Lord, I'm not going to lie to you about my temptations. I'm not going to lie to you that I'm a man or I'm a woman. I'm not going to lie to you that all these things hit my life. I am not going to lie to you. And you know what? The Lord loves absolute honesty. There is those times in your children's life, and they may come to you and they may be a little bit nervous. Say, Mom, I hate to tell you this, or Dad, I hate to tell you this, but. And they just open their heart to you. But you love it when they're honest with you. Now listen to me very carefully. God is not up in heaven going to jump on us when we're honest. He knows our frame. He knows we're the dust that he's created. And he loves it. You see, that life that's blessed, that life that has abundance, is that life that learns to pray, Lord, I'm not going to lie to me about temptation. I'm being tempted. I'm not going to lie to me about the emotions. I have an emotional feeling in my heart to have unforgiveness toward this person or that person. I have emotional feelings about wanting to lash out about this or about that. You know what happens? When you include God in the emotions, when you include God in the temptation, you've won half the battle. No person falls without lying to God first. What do you mean? All of a sudden, they just a little bit deceptive, a little bit dishonest. You see, now, don't want to hurt your feelings, but if we'll lie about our weight, what else will we lie about? If we'll deceive ourselves about our weight, and think about it for a moment. Think how insignificant that is. Your weight is simply the gravitational pull of the earth's forces against the ground. Your weight does not determine who you are. Your weight doesn't determine your character, your integrity, your influence, your blessings on others' lives. But you know what some people do? Their whole life is geared around the gravitational pull against the earth's surface. They forget what type of life they are living and what type of life they have benefited others by. And you see, if you learn to be honest, first of all, challenge yourself with being honest about your weight. Now, listen to me real carefully. Now, what are you talking about, Pastor? Now, I'm not saying share it right now. No, don't you dare do that. Check yourself. Because here's the thing about it. If you won't come clean on that, there's a lot of other things you'll never come clean on. Weight's a small thing. And that's why so many people are falling right and left. Because we live in a world of dishonesty. We live in a world of deceit and trickery. People will tell you everything. David was a man after God's own heart because there was sheer honesty in his soul. The third, honesty about our sins. If there is one area in which a lot of people are stuck, it is stuck in an area because they will not be honest with God about some sin in their life. You know, there's probably no greater area in life that robs us of the blessings of God and his abundance other than some sin that's being committed that will not be confessed. I've had some people come to me privately and say, you know what, I just can't overcome this. And they share some sin they committed in the past. And what they basically say is, I've never been honest with myself, and I've definitely never been honest and open with God. When you look in Psalms chapter 51, you need to understand that this is a psalm of confession after David the king had sinned and had had sexual relations with Bathsheba. He had gone out on top of his kingdom one day and he looked and he saw, the Bible says he saw a woman bathing. Rather than going back inside and minding his own business, he had Bathsheba summoned to him. And the Bible says that he had sinned against her, and they had a child, and the baby was born. Bathsheba sent word to David that she was pregnant. But here's what David didn't do. David didn't own up to his sin. And can I tell you this? There are many, many, many believers who are not owning up to sin in their life. They simply use this cloak. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But my friend, sin poisons your body. Just like getting a snake bite poisons your system, so does sin left in your body poison your being. That's why you cannot have a life of abundance and blessing if you have undealt with sin. If there's something you have done in your life and you've not gotten on your knees and asked God to forgive you. And when you look at Psalms chapter 51, it is a psalm of confession before God. And I want you to look at it very carefully. Because David is simply saying to God, after he's come to his senses, after he is awakened, he says to the Lord God, have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. You know what David is saying? God, I own up to what I've done. I'm going to finally come clean. It doesn't matter if your sin has been 10 years ago or 2 years ago or a month ago or yesterday. If you never have gotten on your knees and asked God to forgive you, or if you've never owned up to it, that sin is still poisoning your body. It's poisoning your system. Don't you believe the statement, time heals all wounds? If you sinned some years ago, maybe it's a sin like David and Bathsheba's. You've never gotten on private with God and you said, Father, forgive me, I've sinned against you. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You must go to your grave with an unblessed life if you don't own up to your sin. Now, don't misunderstand what I said. I didn't say you have to. But if you confess your sins, listen to what it says. If we confess our what? Sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And you see, here's the reality. It doesn't matter. You can believe what you want to believe. You can think what you want to think. But you didn't make your life. You didn't create yourself. You're created by holy God. And God has made it very clear. If you don't confess your sin, there is still the reality of sin on your life. And that's why there's no joy. That's why there's no blessing. You say, well, it happened 20 years ago. Well, it's like yesterday to the Lord. Because a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. And you see, Bathsheba became pregnant. They lost the child. And it was a while before David was honest with God. And you see, here's the reality. If I want the blessings of God and His abundance, then here's what has to happen. There has to be honesty in my soul. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Is this type of sexual sin unforgivable? Absolutely not. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, boy, that's an unforgivable sin. Now, don't you misunderstand. We have to live with the consequences of our sin. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. That's what God says. But here's the reality. For David to know the joy of God again, he had to own up to what he's done. He had to own up to his sin. He had to own up to his actions. And you see, until he did, there was no joy. Look at Psalm 51. I want you to notice something. Look in verse 12. After David prayed, he said, purge me. He said, create in me a new spirit. Look in verse 12. Restore unto me the, say it loud, joy of thy salvation. Can I say this to you? I want you to listen. There is no joy apart from honest confession. Sometimes we wonder, God, what's wrong with my life? I'm saved. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. But you're missing out on one part. Honest confession. Honest confession is like that shower that you take in the morning or in the evening. There's just that good warmth of cleansing over your body. You know what I'm talking about. You've had a grungy day at work and you just feel filthy and you can't wait to get home and take a shower. When you've sinned and you get on your face before God and say, Father, I'm not going to lie to you and I'm not going to lie to me. I did something that was sinful. I did something that was a disgrace to your name. And right here and right now, I own up to it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I do want to ask you the question. When you sin, do you confess immediately? Maybe you say, Pastor, I've never confessed my sin. I've never asked God to forgive me my sin. Do you make the connection now? Do you make the connection why you don't have a life of abundance and blessing? God is not going to be hard on you. God is not going to jump on you. God's not going to be mean. That's not who He is. He can't. That violates His character and His nature. But listen to the sweet words of John. Put your name there. I'll put mine there. Dear Benny, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you, Benny, of your sins, and to cleanse you, Benny, of your unrighteousness. And you know what? When you own up to your sins, when you own up privately, maybe you don't want to do it publicly, that's understandable, but you own up to your sins, there is a sweet joy that comes back to your heart. David couldn't undo the death of that child. David couldn't undo the fact that he got Bathsheba pregnant. David couldn't undo any of that, but he could own up to his sin. Is it no wonder that David was called a man after God's own heart, because there was nothing that he would not let go and give to God? And you see, the truth about it is, if you're not honest in your emotions, if you're not honest in your temptations, if you're not honest in your sins, then you're left out of the life that God wants for you, a life of blessing and a life of abundance. Because it's totally possible to be saved and deceive yourself all of your life. Let me ask you a question. What sin is robbing you of the blessing of God? What temptation will you not be honest about? What emotion have you found in your heart that you're just scared to death to tell God about? Have you ever told God you're mad at Him? You can't tell God that. Why not? You see, He loves emotional honesty. We'll never leave these human bodies until the day the Lord calls us home, or the rapture, or through death. We're stuck in these bodies to all our earthly life. But here's the reality. If you want the life of abundance that the Father promises you, you practice these and develop a heart of honesty, absolute sheer honesty, and you will be amazed at the absolute excitement that one day holds before the Lord. You won't find yourself hanging your head down. You won't find yourself having to go someplace to be excited and to be happy. There will be that tranquility and that excitement with each passing day of your life. Are you honest with yourself? You? Are you? Are you honest with yourself? Are you honest with yourself, Pastor? Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for speaking to us through Your Word. And Father, I pray for that person who has been deceptive with themselves. Maybe it's been so habitual that it's become commonplace. Father, I would pray Your Holy Spirit would awaken them right now and let them know You love them. You care about them. Father, You have nothing but Your abundant blessings for our lives, but they don't come any old way. They come when we're honest with ourselves and honest with you. Father, I pray for that man or that woman that's here without Christ. Father, there's the great deceiver, Satan, who says, don't worry about your soul. Don't worry about your sins. Enjoy the day. Enjoy what's in this day. He won't tell us about eternity. He won't say anything about standing before God. And he'll never say anything about hell. But Father, you remind us, there's nothing in the world any more valuable than our soul. And Father, I pray for that man, that woman that's not saved, that they would come this morning, place their faith in Christ. Pray for that young person who needs to follow through with a commitment.